of praise the Lord. Aren't you glad you're in the house of the Lord tonight?
Yes.
Amen. Are you learning to be a team player?
Yes.
You remembered what you were taught this morning?
Yes.
All right, now I'm watching you. Let's just see if you can be a team player all the time. Amen. Father, we surely do thank you for everybody that came into your house tonight to get fresh manna from heaven and just to feel your presence and to be delivered, set free, Father. Father God, give them the peace that passes all understanding tonight. And Father God, as you're knocking on their heart's door, let that door open, swing wide and to receive everything you have for their spirit man this day. And Father, we just thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, get ready for the change in music. I've already talked to Sister Tracy. She said, well, I can't find any warfare songs. We're going to find warfare songs. And so there's time. Remember, every time I've changed the music, people went, ah. But after a bit, you didn't want to change it. So God said warfare music is going to be, whatever that might be. And so just get ready for the transition. God's been saying that there's a new sound coming, and so this is his new sound. And we're just going to embrace it, right? Well, everybody follow Astrid's yes, and then we'll be fine. Amen. We do with much anticipation of what God is going to do through new songs, new praise, new worship. I'm believing for a mighty turnaround in the body of Christ. I'm believing that your head's going to finally get out of the sand and out of the clouds or wherever you might have it. And you're going to get into the third heaven with God, and I'm here and say, God, so you're going to allow him to transform you the way he wants to transform you, not the way you want to transform yourself, or not the way somebody else wants to transform you, but the way he wants to transform. Amen. Because only he knows what he wants to do with your life. Only he knows what needs transformed. So don't allow somebody else to do that for you. You do that. You allow God to do that for you. God is saying, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves before me this night. And I'm not going to say fast and pray, my children. I'm just going to say, humble yourself before me this night. The mighty Father, the triune God, the one who placed you in your mother's womb and breathed life into your nostrils. If you would just truly humble yourself before me this night, let go of all those things that you are holding so tightly to, and just come into my arms and worship me for who I truly am. Don't worship me because you think I'm going to provide for you the things that you really don't need. But just come and worship me for who I am, the Father of all lights, the Father who loves you, the Father who adores you, and the Father who wants the very best for you. If you would just do that this night, just humble yourselves. And as you humble yourself, you're going to find out that you'll be at peace with yourself. And the things around about you that so easily beset you will no longer beset you, for you will be secure in my arms, finally. Yes, the enemy does rage round about, but don't you understand, sons and daughters, that my angelic host is continually with you every second of every day? Do you not understand, my children, that I am truly keeping you safe in the palms of my hands? And do you not understand that the enemy has no sway over you? The only sway over you that he has is what you allow him to have. Humble yourself this night before the mighty God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Come into my sanctuary this night. Come into my house, the house that I have prepared for you. And that house is my heart. That house is my bosom. Come into me this night and receive of me all that I have for you. Much is being said out there, but not much is being understood. If you would humble yourself this night and come into my very presence, I would give you revelation from heaven. And you could dispel some of the darkness that's being spoken out there in the land. I am not saying that everything that's being spoken is not true. I didn't say that. I say there is some darkness being spoken that it is not true. Yet if my children would just humble themselves and come before my presence and ask me what is going on, then I will give you the answers. But you're too busy listening to what everybody else is saying, too busy listening to the rumors. And you're not busy about the Father's business of standing in His presence. I'm asking you again tonight, humble yourself before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And allow me to be the author and finisher of your life. Allow me to put the period there and leave it there. I love you. And I have never left you nor forsaken you. You've left me and forsaken me many times. But I have never left you nor forsaken you. So tonight I'm saying, please come back into my arms. Please come back into my bosom and just stay there. Stay at my feet and allow me to prepare you for the war that looms before you. I am able. Are you able to humble yourself? That's the question that I leave with you tonight. I am able to do all things, but are you able to humble yourself to receive all the wisdom that I want to give you and the revelation? Thank you, Father. Tonight I'm going to teach on, we're going to read a prophetic vision of two rivers and a strong morning. I had another message all prepared for you, but I told my husband I can't give it because God has this burning in my spirit. So this is what we're going to hear tonight. This is by a young man named Josh Fontaine. Two rivers flowing into one. He says, In July, I received a vision from the Lord concerning polluted waters and bad fruit. Before I share that vision, I would like to say that I love the church. I'm passionate about the church, and I am more convinced than ever that the church is God's answer for the world, and it surely is. Having said that, it is also important to recognize that we are not where we should be, and the Lord is answering with a pure move of His Spirit in our day. You know, the church is not where it should be. I will attempt to share this vision just as I received it and not add any of my own opinions to it. The Lord and I were together in a great valley that stretched several miles in each direction from where we were standing. The Lord led me to the banks of this river, and it was a relatively wide river with rapidly moving water. As we approached the banks, I began to notice a horrible smell coming from the water. Once we reached the edge of the bank, the smell was overpowering me, and it reeked like severely stagnant water. And when I looked down into it, there was no life in this water other than tadpoles and leeches, but no vegetation or fish. What I was seeing didn't make sense to me because this was an active, rapidly moving river and should have been full of life. And really what he's talking about here is churches. I asked the Lord how this water could be stagnant but yet moving so rapidly. And the Lord spoke to me and said that this water wasn't stagnant, it was polluted. He then took me up the river to the mouth of it. The river was flowing out of the side of a mountain. Located at the corner of the valley and the mountain, there was a very large factory. It was surrounded by a very high fence with razor wire across the top. The large door had a sign written across the top of the door that read, "The Modern Church." See the razor sharp fence, nobody can get in. At all four corners were high watchtowers with armed guards on each of them. The Lord spoke to me and said that these watchmen were looking for an enemy, but I thought it wasn't the enemy. I asked the Lord who they considered their enemy, and He said that they were watching for any man or woman that would dare challenge the practices of the modern church. He then told me that they were highly trained character assassins, and they would stop at nothing to silence the voices of those that would speak out and challenge carnal practices of the modern church system. We went behind the factory where the river ran beside it, and there was a concrete ramp leading down into the water. There were people dumping barrels of substances into this water. Each barrel was labeled. I saw labels like humanism, universalism, carnality, lust, sexual immorality, compromise, greed, fear of man, and so on. He then led me down the river, and we came upon a large fruit field. We crossed a bridge and approached the trees. These trees were some of the greenest trees I have ever seen. But when I approached them, they were either void of any spirit or any fruit, or the fruit was molded, rotten, and infested by insects. The Lord told me that these trees were meant to bear good fruit, but the roots were tapped into contaminated and polluted water. Now, these trees are referring to people, all right? And he said their roots, but the roots were tapped into contaminated and polluted water. In other words, they weren't where the Spirit was moving. We then moved further down the river to a village. There were people walking around this village. The people were very trendy and modern in their style and dress. I walked up to a man with his back to me and touched his shoulder. He turned around and I stepped back because his eyes were whited out and he was zombified. Death was in his face. I began to declare to him that he was dead, but that I could lead him to life. He began to defend his position with all sorts of philosophies, and nothing I said was impacting him. Not everybody is going to be saved. Not everybody is going to be delivered and be set free. Get that in your spirit tonight. You got it there? You can do anything. You can do everything in the world for them and to them and talk to them and minister to them, but they will not be saved. I asked the Lord why the man wouldn't hear me, and he said because he wouldn't endure sound doctrine. The Lord then told me that this man was a product of people eating rotten fruit and drinking from polluted waters. You know, you can go to a church and sit in that church, and it can have no fruit whatsoever in it, and you can be zombified just like the pastor is. Come on. You can leave that church just as polluted could get. This is why God said spirit is calling to spirit. All religion has to go out the window. And we have to be walking in the spirit because otherwise we weren't going to make it. The part that stood out the most about this encounter was with this man was the fact that he was utterly convinced he was alive. He couldn't be convinced of his condition. So why do you people keep trying to convince people that they need more of God or they even need God? Some people just think they have it. And some people are very content with what they have. You know, God says you can't force them to believe. You can't force them to receive. You just have to give the word out there to them that God gives you. Then you have to walk away and let them do with the word what they want to do with it. It's not up to you to change them or convince them that there's a lot of cults out there that really believe they're doing the works of the Father. What Father, I don't know, but they are convinced with every fiber of their being that they are in the right place. And you shouldn't even try to tell them otherwise. You shouldn't try to tell them otherwise. Let God work on them. And if God can't work on them, you can't work on them either. All right? You know, God is teaching us a lot of things right now because he's getting ready to do the glory drop. A lot of people are going to come through all church doors. And we have to understand, be in the spirit and understand who can be saved and who cannot. All right, because God told me many years ago, they like what they're doing, and you cannot change their mind. And they even have their self convinced that what they're doing is right. From here, the Lord then took me into the mountain where the river began. He took me past the factory and into a cave where the water was coming out. He took me up into the mountain, and the water flowing through this mountain was the clearest, most beautiful water I've ever seen. This water was living and vibrant. The Lord spoke to me that this river was the pure movement of his spirit. You know, guys, you can be full of the pure movement of God's spirit, and you can go into a dead church, and God will use that pure movement of his spirit in you to try to revive that dead church. He'll use that light that's emanating from you. But you cannot break that darkness. The spirit of God in you is what breaks the darkness. And if they don't want to receive it, they won't receive it. So the Bible says, shake their dust off your feet and move on. It could be in your family. It could be where you work. Quit trying to convince people that you're right and they're wrong. Amen? Quit trying to convince them of that. God, in His sovereignty, if they are going to be saved, He knows exactly what to do. You might be just the one just planting a seed. Somebody else comes along and waters that seed, and somebody else comes along and harvests that seed. I know we want to be the farmer and the harvester. We want to be everything, but it doesn't work like that. See, we just might be seed droppers. We don't know. So that's just like, you know, I'll sit and I'll preach, you know, and the members of the church might go to another service somewhere and they come back and say, oh, guess what we have found out? I've been dropping that seed for years. And when they went to that church, somebody watered it and it came alive. So, you know, you don't get upset about that. You just do what God tells you to do and let God be in control. Amen. They didn't leave the church, but they just thought what they heard was so wonderful. And I'm sitting there thinking, really now? And it still happens today. It still happens today. So that, I'm just telling you, that's just the way it is. So you don't get upset about it. Satan could use that, you know, to destroy your walk with God. He could use that, people doing that to you, just to make you think, well, what am I even doing here? And that is really what the devil wants to do with that. All right, the Lord spoke to me that this river was a pure movement of His Spirit. He told me that this river was where His power and anointing was found. He said that many people are looking for Him in the valley of man. But He wasn't found there. He was found in the hill of the Lord. Are you listening? He told me that He was issuing an invitation to His people to come and flow in this river. Isn't that what God did to us? I know a good, what, 5-6 years ago? He said the river is running wide and it's running deep. And I'm inviting you to come into the river tonight. Because if you don't get in the river tonight, you're going to miss the river. And here, this guy got this here on 9/1/2015. God's still saying He's issuing an invitation to His people to come, and to His people. Didn't say to the world, did it? To His people to come and flow in this river. He said that even though the invitation was to all of His ministers, many wouldn't tap into it because of what was going to be required to flow there. Did you hear that? Because of what was going to be required to flow there. He then gave me the following requirements to stay in the pure river. Only say what He says with no fear of man. You just was instructed to do that this morning, right? Honor Him and love Him more than the praise of man. Honor God and praise, love Him more than the praise of man. Abstain from sexual immorality. Never prostitute the gift He has given me for money. Stay humble. God called us to be humble tonight. Stay humble. Always be a good husband to my wife and a good father to my children. This is what God instructed this man. All right, only say what He says with no fear of man. Honor Him and love Him more than the praise of man. Abstain from sexual immorality. Never prostitute the gift He has given me for money. Stay humble. I was reading the other day, and this blew my mind, where in churches, if there's a prophet there, they actually have one of those little things from the bank where you can slide your card through. And when they come up for a word, you have to slide your card through and pay so much money, then they'll prophesy over you. That blew my mind. And he told this young man, never prostitute the gift He has given me for money. You know, that's like you get on the website and people say, if you want a prophetic word, send me some money and I'll give you one. Well, you didn't go to a soothsayer, did you? Come on. There's all kind of things going on out there that we're not aware of. But really, we don't need to be aware of it. We just need to do what God's telling us to do. And who cares what's going on out there, right? And I'm hoping you're not suckered into that. I'm hoping that you have enough training under your belt that you'll understand what is of God and what is not. God said, if I would maintain these things in my life and ministry, He would allow me to flow in His pure river. So if you follow those six steps, God allow you to flow in his pure river. He then said, if I violate any of these things, then I would no longer be able to stay in the mountain of God. Come on. This isn't just for this young man. It's for the whole body of Christ. He then quoted Psalm 24, 3 through 5, which says, who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? Then this is who can do this. He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he will receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. That's the people who can go up to his mountain. Do you qualify? Do you qualify as for what Psalm 24, 3 through 5 says? He said that many ministers begin their ministries in the clean river, but after time find themselves in the valley. Mom. He warned me strongly that once you go down to the valley, though it is possible to make your way back to the mountain, it is almost impossible because many times it will require public repentance and public humility. There's some of us in here can say that when we are in the valley, we had to humble ourselves and admit to what was going wrong in our life, or even have God prophesy to us, you know, what was going on in our life. You think, well, Lord, you could do it in privacy. But no, God said what was hidden in the dark, he's going to bring to the light, right? And so that's what he's been doing, hasn't he? And through that, whenever he brings what you're doing in the dark to the light, then if you humble yourself before God and go ahead and let him do what he has to do to get you cleaned up, then you can go to the mountain. Amen? Come on. Many have trouble, God wanted to say, many have trouble dealing with their pride to do that. My prayer in this hour is that the true church of Jesus Christ would rise up with clean hands and pure hearts. God has been dealing with the church for too long now. The church as a whole. He's been dealing with the church as a whole to get themselves together for quite a few years now. I was born again back in 1979, I think it was, and God told me right then and there we were living in the days of Noah. Told me right after I was born again, we was living in the days of Noah. Well, in the days of Noah, there was everybody was sinning except Noah and his family, right? So, you know, the same thing has been going on before 1979. It's been going on long before that. But God told me we were living in the days of Noah. And he told me that look for the abomination of desolation. And there's a scripture in the Bible that tells them that the pastors were doing one thing at the pulpit, but at night they were doing things they shouldn't be doing in the dark. And I cannot find it. It's in the Old Testament. And I think your brother Chris even tried to look it up. But I read it then because God gave it to me. And I didn't write it down. Saints, there's too many things that you're doing in the dark and then coming in the light and acting like you're all godly. The Bible says it's better that you fall on a rock than have the rock fall on you. In other words, it's better for you to go to God and cry out in repentance and have God clean you up than him show all your sins to the world. Now, it's up to you. What do you want God to do? And are you going to be one that goes to the mountaintop, or are you going to be the one that stays down in the valley? You know, if your heart is really right before the Lord, he knows how to humble you. Believe me, he does. And, you know, when he's doing anything, God, I wish I'd have fell on a rock, you know. But, you know, those days are over. God, if you haven't done it, then God's, he's going to do what he's got to do to clean you up. And are you going to be able to be cleaned up? This is something you have to ask about the people around about you. Are they really going to be able to be cleaned up? Only they and God know unless God tells you. All right, there are two rivers flowing tonight, one polluted and one clean. Which one are you going to decide to flow? No, what does it say? Let's decide to flow where he is flowing. But my question to you is, which one are you going to decide to flow in, the polluted one or the one that's clean? Are you, you know, and you can say the one that's clean all you want to, but you have to live it out. Because when you say the one that's clean, by George, I'll tell you right now, the devil heard that. And he's going to come and test you beyond limit. You heard that the word God said we're getting ready to be tested in an unprecedented test. That's something we've never had to be tested with before. And I've noticed that on Sunday mornings, the preachers are preaching about how God will keep you in this dangerous time and how we have to be close to God. And you know, they're bringing out scriptures this morning that we are going to be persecuted. Now, they never would say that before, but now they're saying it's right there before you. It's like your nose and your face. It's right there, so you can't dismiss it. So now they're telling everybody, okay, so you're going to be persecuted. You know, you might be killed for your religion. You're going to be put in jail for your religion. But this is what the Word of God says that God's going to do for us. And even if that doesn't happen, even if you have to go to prison, God is still in that prison cell with you. And he's still watching over you. And, you know, they're preaching, you know, you really have to make a decision right now that either you're going to go ahead and stay in your faith, or you're just going to get out of it and just eventually one day go to hell. You know, I always say the devil takes care of his own, and he does. But God takes care of his own, too. Now, the devil takes care of his own by, you know, if you want fame and fortune, he'll give you fame and fortune. He'll give you all the fame and fortune that you want. And you're a Christian, you know, and you're not, that person's not a child of God, but a child of God is looking and saying, well, they have everything, and I'm believing God for, you know, I'm following God, and I have faith and everything else, and I don't have anything. Yes, you do. You have a ticket to heaven. And those people that are having everything right now on this earth, they don't have a ticket to heaven. They have a ticket to hell. And one day, everything that God has given them is going to be yanked out from underneath them and like a rug is. And then they're going to realize what they've done, but it's going to be too late. So don't look at people who are in the world and look at everything that they have, because they really have nothing, but you have everything. Don't envy them for what they have. You know, here you are, a child of God, and you're counting every penny. You're counting pennies you don't even have. And here's somebody that's not living for the Lord, and they're just going through all kind of, they have all kind of money. They have all kind of material things. And don't look at that. Look at the fruit. What kind of fruit are they bearing? And you can tell by the fruit they're bearing where they're going to end up at. They're going to end up either in heaven or in hell. We have to keep our eyes glued to God. We have to keep our eyes glued to his word. We have to make sure that we're not flowing in that polluted river. We're going to make sure the river we're walking in is clean and pure, just like God, this young man described it. It doesn't matter what we have here on this earth as long as we have Jesus. What matters is what we're going to get when we get to heaven. And I'm not even talking about streets of gold and all that. We're just going to have perfect peace and perfect harmony. And then we have the calm assurance that one day we're going to come back down to this earth. And God's going to use us-ins to settle this earth once again. Amen. And, you know, if you read the word, you know, God kept recreating and recreating. He kept destroying the earth and keeps recreating. So we're in the part now of the word where God's getting ready to destroy the earth once again because it's so polluted. And then when he gets all that done, then he's going to bring us back down to this earth. And the word of God tells us we're going to rule and reign here for 1,000 years in perfect peace. Won't that be wonderful? You know, we're just going to be happy, happy, happy. Then it says, then it's going to start all over again. But I'm not even looking at that part. I'm looking at the part that for 1,000 years, we're going to be perfectly happy. And we're going to be like it was in the Brady Bunch days, you know. And we're just going to be full of joy. And then those people who didn't follow God are going to be in hell doing what? Gnashing their teeth. We don't want that. And we don't, you know, get excited over them not going to heaven. I feel very sorry for anybody that's on a fast train to hell. I really do. Because they've been told about Jesus, and they've seen the fruit of the Spirit when you walk with Jesus, and they've seen your joy, but they would rather have the instant microwave thing that's going on right now. And it doesn't count for anything. What we need is the Lord Jesus Christ ruling and reigning in our heart 100%. Giving up all the dumb junk. Now, how many of you, you know that we all know that the last 15 years, the body of Christ has been tested and tried beyond measure. And you know, you've gone through one hell after another hell. Now, why would you give all that testing time up just for a day of enjoyment? And that's the day you would die. Wouldn't that be awful? Just keep on keeping on, keep on trucking. Keep on trusting in God. Keep on. I don't care how many tests and how many trials we go through. Just keep on, because God has a sure thing for us. Satan does not have anything sure, but God has a sure thing for us. You know, it really upsets me when I see a child of God who's really worked hard, and then all of a sudden I hear God say, get brazen, you know, and then they start getting hardened, and then they don't even realize it, but they start sliding backwards to the other side again. And I'm thinking, why in the world do you allow yourself to do that? Why? You know, there's somebody I know that God told me three different times they were on their way out. But each time we prayed, we interceded, you know, and each time that person listened to what God said to them, and each time that person came back again. And now God said, it's finally over. You're back for sure. But, you know, if we wouldn't have prayed, if we wouldn't have interceded, and that person wouldn't have humbled himself before God, and you know, and that person was a little bit loudmouthed with his faith, you know, and shout, you know, God's going to do. And then God didn't do. And then they had to eat what they called humble pie, you know. So I'm very careful about what I brag about. It's not because God isn't going to do it, but I also know what the enemy's going to do the minute you start bragging. He's going to come by and he's going to pull that rug out from underneath your feet, and he's going to let the whole world see exactly what you're not. You're not as full of faith as what you thought you were. And you really have to fight really super hard to get back up on your feet. Amen. See, I learned a long time ago, when the enemy tells you he's going to do something to you, he can do it because God gives him permission to. And I learned not to laugh in his face. He doesn't have no more power than my father, but I do know what Job experience is all about. I do know that whenever he goes before the Father and he says, okay, let me have Sister Barbara Alsap. I'm going to show you what she's not made of. And so God, he's saying, well, go ahead, you can have her. Just don't kill her, because I'm going to show you what she is made of. And so while he's testing and trying Sister Barbara Alsap, she just about gives in. She just about lets the enemy have the rule and reign. But something inside of her clicks and said, no, I can't do that. I have to keep on going. And then your time of testing is over until the next time he goes before God and asks for you. Are you understanding this? You just don't go through one Job experience. I'm going to call you knuckleheads. you go through one Job experience after another Job experience, because it makes the devil mad when you pass the first test. Then he said, I'm going to get her no matter what. You know, you already know that Satan himself came to me three different times telling me what he was going to do with me. The first time I laughed at him. The second or third time I did not laugh. I just said, you can't kill me, because God said you can't kill me. Amen. But he can put you through hell. And some days your flesh is going to say, kill me. Just go ahead and get it over with. But you don't die. You just stay there. You just stick your feet in that rock and you just stand. When you've done all that all to do, you just stand. And you say to God, God, what should I do? He says, stand still. And I'm thinking, I don't want to hear that again, never. In fact, then the next time I ask, I put my tongue in my cheek and I said, what do you want me to do, Lord? He says, stand. Because I know what he's going to say. He's going to say, stand. Because he knows that you can make it through this trying time. God is not going to allow Satan to do any more to you than you can bear. He won't. He won't allow that. He won't allow you to have so much pressure in you that's going to kill you. He's not that kind of a God. But he will tell Satan to go ahead. You know, and then he'll make sure that he can't push you clear down to he kills you. He makes sure of that. But aren't you glad that he has so much confidence in you that he can say to Satan with boldness, go ahead, take them. Test them and try them. Do whatever you want to with them, but you just can't kill them. Aren't you glad you're that strong? Come on, some of you say, well, I just wish God wouldn't think I was as strong as he thinks I am, because I'm not. But yes, you are. You're as strong as God knows you are. Not that he thinks you are. You're as strong as he knows you are. So you see, what he's trying to get you to understand that you are that strong. He's trying to get you to understand you can endure. But we're so quick to say, God, I can't do this thing. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. One time, a very dear friend of mine, when I was working, her husband left her. It just totally threw her for a loop. And she was just about having a nervous breakdown. And I said, God, your word says you never put on us more than we can bear. And she's about ready to have a nervous breakdown. And she's your child. And he said, then it didn't come from me. So why don't you pray for her and get that off of her? So I did. I prayed and I said, Devil, you cannot put this woman in a nut house. You can't do this. Because she's a child of God. And you know what? He lifted that pressure off of her. Because I prayed and made him do it. And she didn't go to no crazy house. And you know what? She turned around and was just as happy as she could be. And she was so glad she was operating with that pressure of that marriage. Because it wasn't a good marriage to begin with. But she thought she'd die if she didn't have that little rascal. You know? So what do you think you're going to die if you don't have? That's the thing you have to get rid of. Amen? Well, when I was mad at my husband one day, I said, God, kill him. Oh, he said, you self-righteous preacher, you, he said to me. Then I said, God, I'm so sorry, I didn't mean that. And I remember I said, yes, I did. Come on. No, I repented real quick of doing that. But many times I've thought of since then, you know. Somebody said, one of the preachers said this morning that they asked Billy Graham, did you ever think about divorcing your wife? He said, no, but I thought about murder many times, you know, but never divorce. So we're not all perfect. See, everybody thought Billy Graham was perfect, but he had bad thoughts too. He was talking really about marriage. So what are you guys going to do? Are you going to be a child of God and endure the afflictions? Are you really going to endure the afflictions? Are you going to keep allowing the enemy to come and knock you off your feet, knock you off your feet, knock you off your feet? Aren't you getting tired of getting knocked down and by the enemy? Then have to be embarrassed and pull yourself back up again? Because he's standing there laughing, ha, see, I got you that time. I knocked you down, didn't I? And you thought I couldn't do that to you, but I did. And he's just laughing. Why do we allow him to do that? Let's stop that. Because you heard what God told this one young man. He said that, you know, when you go down in that valley, some will never come back up again because I have too much pride. So I'm hoping that after everything God's done with pride in you people, I hope none of you have any pride at all. But I hope that, but I know that's not the truth. Because I see some of your facial expressions. I hear some of the things you say, and still pride there. Let's get rid of that. Let's become humble before God like he asked us tonight. And let's not go down into the valley, but let's stay in the mountaintop. It doesn't matter how bad the enemy rails against us. Let's stay on the mountaintop. Amen. Now, we always remember Moses. Remember, God called him to the mountaintop. He was a very special person. He's called to the mountaintop. While he's up there, his crew got out of sorts, did things he shouldn't have done. He came down there and got so mad, he broke the Ten Commandments. His anger got the best of him. He had to go get him out of the valley, go back up to the mountaintop. 40 more days of fasting. Humbling himself before God to get the Ten Commandments all over again. Then he had to come back down and let God kill the people. Isn't that what it's all about? They wouldn't submit, would they? He caused an earthquake and half of them fell into that hole, right? Then even Moses himself didn't go into the promised land, did he? Because after all God did to Moses, and we're all a Moses at some point in our life, because God told me, you're another Moses, and just as I did for Moses, I'll do for you. So I don't want to be another Moses and die and not go into the promised land. But see, Moses, even though he knew all the miracles God was going to do, and God told him what to do, he still went against God and did what he shouldn't have done. He hit the rock instead of speaking to it, right? There went his anger again, right? Now, you know what? One of us might do something like that thinking it's not going to hurt us, but we'll be like Moses. And God will say, you can't go into the promised land because of what you did. I'm going to take Joshua and Caleb, but I'm not taking you. Took Joshua and Caleb and all the younger ones, right? Don't spray in here again before I preach. That's burning my eyes. But anyhow, so what are you? What are you doing? Are you the Moses that's going to obey God? Are you the Moses that's going to let either your anger or whatever get a hold of you? And just one moment, one time, you miss God. And you're going to the promised land. And right now the promised land is the glory drop. Are you listening? God's getting ready to drop that glory. I don't know what day, I don't know what hour, but I know he's getting, I'm just not saying it anymore. How many years, 8 years or something now, I've been telling it. It's getting ready to happen. And God's trying to get this church and probably every other church around in the world, but I'm in this church, this is a church I talk about. He's trying to get this church prepared for that glory drop. He doesn't want anybody in here to miss the glory drop, but some of you might. Some of you might. If you're not in total obedience to what God's telling you to do. So what has God told you to do that you're not doing? Brother Allen said, I'm saying, I hope not anything else, Lord. I want you to really think about this tonight. Be honest with yourselves. Don't be self-deceived. Be honest with yourself. Is there anything in you that God has asked you to do that you still have not done yet? That you're still dragging your feet on? You don't know. The glory drop might happen in the next second. And you won't be able to get in that river. Think real hard about what God's asking you to do. And if there's something he has asked you to do and you haven't, I want you to repent right now to yourself. Tell God you're sorry. Don't lie to God. When you make a covenant with God, he keeps that covenant. He hears it and he keeps it. So if you're sitting there repenting, then do what you're going to do. Don't lie to God, because that'll get you killed. That's the Ananias and Sapphira thing. Lying to God, lying to the Holy Spirit. So if you're sitting there saying, God, I'm sorry I didn't do what you told me to do, but from this moment I'm going to do it. He expects you to do it. And if you don't, you're in dire trouble. I just heard that, so I thought I'd say that. Amen. Come on. This is how simple you can miss God. Somebody in here comes in late every service that lives real close to the church. But yet there's other people who have to drive an hour and a half away. They're here before the church service starts. And God said, if they don't start coming when you tell them to, they're disobedient to me and I'm done with them. Something that simple. Sitting at home, what are you doing? Dragging your feet? You're washing your hair 10 times? You're watching TV? Or you make yourself a snack? Or you're saying, I want to be late so I can be seen as I walk through the door. Get out of here. That's going to get you right out of the promised land. That's just an example. Because that's just what God told me today. So I'm just using that example. What is it that you're doing and you're being disobedient to God? It's you're doing it your way and not God's way. Somebody else in here, God said, if they don't get that anger out of them, I'm done with them. It's a young person, a very young person. They're angry. They're rebellious. They're coming against their parents. And when they come against their parents, they're coming against God. And God told me this after sitting right there this evening, if they don't quit, I'm done with them. I'm going to let them go their own way. I'm going to let them stew in their own stew. And they're going to be sorry they did, but it's going to be too late. Little simple things that we think, oh, God isn't even noticing. He notices everything. So what is it? God told me, he said, you need to be more kind to your husband. And I know I do. I know I do. I have short fuse anymore with a lot of things. And I've been telling people, I've got an anger problem right now. Haven't I been telling you all that? And I'm really working on it really super hard. And it's because I'm tired of people walking all over me. But we're not supposed to grow weary in well-doing. So I've been in sin. But I've repented and I'm working on that, getting that thing together. Are you understanding what I'm saying? People would say you have a right. And yeah, I do have a right in the natural, but in the spiritual, I don't. So what are you doing that you're being disobedient to God? Question after question after question, God says he's going to be asking you question after question after question. And he wants you to be honest with yourself and answer it with all honesty. Because he's saying this is your last chance. No more chances. We're no longer playing Russian roulette. This is for keeps. You either want me or you don't want me. You either want to go all the way with me or none at all, because I'm not going to take 99.9% of you. I want 100% of you. A lot of choices have to be made here tonight. Are you going to go to the mountaintop with God where the clean water is, or are you going to go to the valley where the polluted water is? It's up to you. It's up to you. God's given you some time to think this over. And then he's going to bring you up to the altar. You know, it's really a bad thing to be a teacher and live a double life. You teach one thing, but yet you live another. God, you read the word about that. It's better you were never a teacher, because teachers are going to be held, really, they're going to be judged more so than anything else in the body of Christ. So what kind of life are you living? Are you portraying one thing and you're really doing another? And God's saying, what's in your dark closet? He's going to open the closet. I'm just telling you, he's going to open the closet door. He's going to let everybody see what's in your dark closet if you don't get it right. So are you ready to get it right tonight? Are you really ready to get it right tonight? He asks you this every service, doesn't he? If you're really ready to get it right, God wants you to come here to the altar. And he wants you to show the world that you're ready to get it right. And he's saying, I discipline those that I love. And he's saying, I've been disciplining you for a long time now. Now it's time to get it done. And he's also telling me to tell you that the enemy is waging warfare for your soul. It's up to you tonight who's going to win this war. It's you that has to make the choice, not God.